These numbers for this evening begin with Metrical Psalm 31, verses 1 to 7. In thee, O Lord, I put my trust, shamed let me never be. According to thy righteousness do thou deliver me. And then Psalm 136. In the first version, verses 17 to 26. To him great kings who overthrew, for he hath mercy ever. Yea, famous kings in battle slew, for his grace faileth never. And then to conclude, hymn 826. Indulgent God, how kind are all thy ways to me, whose dark, benighted mind was enmity with thee. Yet now, subdued by sovereign grace, my spirit longs for thy embrace. A monument of grace, a sinner saved by blood, the streams of love I trace up to the fountain, God. And in his wondrous mercy see eternal thoughts of love to me. Now let us come before the Lord in prayer. Almighty God, we draw near in the name of thy Son, in whom thou art well pleased. And as we come in his name, thou art well pleased with us as well. For we are in union, and we praise thee for oneness with Jesus Christ, that makes us partaker of all the infinite and eternal blessings of that covenant of grace. We are thine, O Lord, and we pray thee to receive us graciously, love us freely in Christ, and be a gracious God to us. And may thy Holy Spirit minister to our hearts, enlightening us, enlivening us, and enlarging us in the things of God, that this Lord's Day we may be all alive and all vigorous in holy things. And wilt thou open heaven to us and bring down thy blessing, and grant that at this time together we might partake of means of heavenly grace. Speak to us through thy word, apply it by thy Holy Spirit. Come to us in it, Lord. Reveal thyself, speak to us, make thyself known, and may we be blessed in knowing thee. Fit us and furnish us for the week to come, and go with us into it, and help us day by day. We know not what a day may bring forth, but thou knowest everything, for thou art the doer of it. And may we walk with thee, Lord, in fellowship and friendship, and know the wondrous supplies of strength and grace and comfort, peace, guidance and wisdom, the supply of every need. And may we be blessed in thee. We pray at this time, Lord, thou wilt look upon us in favour, and pardon us for all our latest sins through Jesus' precious blood, that blood of sprinkling that cleanseth us from all sin. And grant that at the foot of the cross we may be ever grateful that we are sinners saved by grace, pardoned and granted peace and renewing of our souls as we go on with thee. Remember our church fellowship, Lord, be with each and every one of us, mostly in our homes. We pray for those particularly who cannot get out very much. Draw very near to them, be their comforter, and lovingly bless them. We pray for those, Lord, in ill health and in discomfort, and we pray that thou wilt show thyself the great physician and lovingly tend them and care for them and grant improvement and raising up, we do pray. Those in any other particular need and concern and affliction, O Lord, speak the word of peace, the word of assurance, and the word of deliverance. We commend ourselves to thee, keep us all together, and keep us all safe, and watch over us as the great shepherd of the sheep. We pray thee, dear Lord, to remember our nation. We bring our nation to thee again, languishing under the great burden of this virus, with all the fears and all the restrictions and all the apprehensiveness for the future, all the great uncertainty. O Lord, we thank thee that thou art our refuge and strength and very present help in trouble. Turn people's minds and hearts to thee, and dear Lord, bring the blessing of the gospel to them. Make our prime minister and leaders realize the need of calling upon one who is greater. And Lord, deliver us, we beseech thee, not only from this virus, but from the terrible pestilence of unbelief and secularism and ungodliness and unrighteousness. And O, sanctify thy dealings to us for our good, we beseech thee. Remember us now as we commend ourselves to thee. Speak to us now through thy word, do us good. And we ask these mercies through Jesus Christ and for the glory of thy great name. Amen. Now we read in God's word from the book of Psalms, Psalm 136. Psalm 136. O, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. O, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. O, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. To him alone doeth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that made great lights, for his mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endureth forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy endureth forever, and brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endureth forever. With a strong hand and with a stretched out arm, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which divided the Red Sea into parts, for his mercy endureth forever, and made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endureth forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which smote great kings, for his mercy endureth forever, and slew famous kings, for his mercy endureth forever, Sion, king of the Amorites, for his mercy endureth forever, and Og, the king of Bashan, for his mercy endureth forever, and gave their land for an heritage, for his mercy endureth forever, even an heritage unto Israel, his servant, for his mercy endureth forever, who remembered us in our low estate, for his mercy endureth forever, and hath redeemed us from our enemies, for his mercy endureth forever, who giveth food to all flesh, for his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever. This psalm is worship all the way through. It expresses God's praise with a refrain in each verse, for his mercy endureth forever. What a mercy that his mercy does last always. Philip Henry said, if the end of one mercy were not the beginning of another, we would be undone. 26 times, but not vain repetition, his mercy endureth forever. We can never praise the Lord enough. God delights in mercy, and this psalm calls us to do the same. The psalmist gives God praise for his mercy in the great things he hath done. Creation, the exodus from Egypt, the safe passage through the Red Sea, victory over Israel's enemies, entrance into the promised land of Canaan, and his every provision. Here are concrete examples of that mercy in every age and generation. And amidst it, you have this verse 23, who remembered us in our low estate, for his mercy endureth forever. This is probably when they were in the land of Canaan, which is mentioned there in verse 21. And we know that they were often in a lower state in the promised land. They were small in number. The Lord said of Israel, they were fewest of all people. And there were the Philistine invasions which brought them low. The Canaanites that were left in the land often oppressed them when Israel turned away from the Lord. Then sometimes there was famine, disease, hard times. They were brought low, but in it all, the Lord remembered them in their low estate. And so it is for us, dear friends, in our situations. It is good to remember this verse in 1 Peter 1 verse 25, we're told that the word of the Lord endureth forever. And that word here speaks of his mercy, which endureth forever, because he remembers us in our low estate. So let us make verse 23 then our text, particularly the first part, who remembered us in our low estate. Let's look first of all at where we often are in our low estate. Now, the word estate has nothing to do with houses, as in estate agent, or what the deceased leaves behind, their estate. It's simply an older word for condition in life or state. And here we have our low estate. Of course, it can be high. There are times when, in God's providence, things go very well for us, and we are riding high or on the crest of a wave. We wouldn't quite put it like that, but that's the way it's often expressed. Job remembers a time when it was like that for him. In chapter 29 and verse 3 of his book, when he speaks of God's dealings, when his candle shined upon my head, and when by his light I walked through darkness. It was better then with him than it became afterwards, he says. The scripture speaks of us being able to love life and see good days. Sometimes it is like that. We're financially secure. We know some success. The family doing well, especially in the most important way, spiritually. Plans are fulfilled. We have health and strength. And if this is right for us, then God is pleased to grant these things to us and indulge us in this way. He gives to us richly all things to enjoy. When he knows these things would be safe for us to have and wouldn't puff us up or raise us up in pride, he can entrust such times to us. But more often, it is the opposite. In our low estate, it is often more necessary for us to be brought low because that is for our spiritual benefit. And there are certain things that make us like this, as God would have it. In one sense, it should always be like this for us because of the fact that we are Christians. Our low estate. You remember the words of Mary when the angel Gabriel announced to her that she was graciously accepted and that she would be the mother of our Lord's humanity. She says, Luke 1 verse 48, he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. And there is that wonder and amazement in that young woman that the Lord should choose her, that he should accept her graciously, and that he should choose her to be this servant of his for this great purpose. And so it should be for us, dear friends. We're accepted in the beloved Christ. He has chosen us, brought us out to belong to him, set us on our way, that way that leads to glory in heaven. And he has become a God and a Father to us in Christ. The grace of God to me. In my lowest state, he's lifted me up and he's made me what I am by grace. And it's almost a measure of our spiritual health that we never lose this sense of wonder and amazement. Why, O Lord, such love to me? Granted, we do not always feel it as we could wish, but to think about it, the everlasting love of God to me, the grace of election, the wonder of a Saviour's love to me, that I am a child of God, that I'm so signally blessed. We should always feel our low estate because we're unworthy of it. And God has raised us up and made us what we are purely by distinguishing grace. So in our low estate, that's a healthy feeling, a healthy place to be. But sometimes we are brought low in our low estate. King Hezekiah in Isaiah 38 and verse 17, he says, "Behold, for peace I had great bitterness when that fatal disease came on him." Literally is, "On my peace came great bitterness." One day, sound and healthy, the next, so different. Brought down, brought low. But you see, there's the acknowledgement of the Lord in King Hezekiah. And we know, of course, that in his case, the Lord healed him and gave him 15 more years. But the point is that the Lord is in this, and he is brought down in this condition. I remember hearing about a man who had been very, very wealthy, a Christian man. And then, very quickly, he became bankrupted. And his words of testimony concerning it are something like this: "Before, I saw God in all things. Now, I see all things in God." And there was no hardness or bitterness about this great reversal in his circumstances. In his low estate, still the Lord. By contrast, we remember another man many years ago whom we knew personally, and he had been an officer in the forces, and then when the last war was over, he had his own business. It was quite well known and successful. And then he took a crash and lost it all. And when we first met him in his house, he said something like that he and his wife were in reduced circumstances. But the man had a chip on his shoulder. And even though a Christian man, he was awkward and angular and difficult. And it's quite clear that that had an effect upon him, which was not, like the first man, an absence of hardness and a sweetness in his spirit. You can be brought low, you see, into a low estate. But the question is, has it been sanctified to you? And has it done you good? Or has it had an adverse effect that stays with you? But oh, if the Lord blesses it to us, in that low estate, we can sometimes have much more, spiritually speaking, much more of the grace of God than we had when we were higher up and enjoying life in a different way. Sometimes the Lord brings us low, but it's in order to do us good, if we learn from it and benefit from it. Sometimes, in this how we often are, sometimes we feel low. There is this inward sinking. Maybe at this time of year, when it is a low time of year, isn't it? Dark and cold and often wet. And first thing in the morning, so difficult to get up and get going into the day. And everything seems a burden. Everything seems more of a worry. And this lockdown and all these restrictions don't help us. And you cannot say perhaps what it really is that's on the mind and on the spirit. And yet the melancholy, the gloom, it's not unusual for Christians even to feel like this, because we're not unfeeling as people. One of the Puritans says, "Grace comes not to take away man's affections, but to take them up." But we're still flesh and blood. We're still human spirit. And we feel sometimes low, don't we? In our low estate. Well, it can be like that. And then maybe general Christian experience brings us to this. When our inner corruptions prevail to a degree and we're discouraged, the temptations of Satan, which are strong, when grace is weak in us and we struggle so much, or maybe at times we can grow carnal and secure and careless, lukewarm, indifferent to spiritual things. We pass through conditions like this in our spiritually low estate, and we need reviving, and we need lifting up and restoring again. Or maybe one more in this, how often we are. Maybe it is that there is a long drawn out trial, and this thing has been going on for so long, and it's made us so weary and brought us so low. And maybe the weight of it, the burden of it, the continuance of it has brought us almost to breaking point. But it's a great comfort to know that he remembers us in our low estate, and we never are beyond his remembrance. And he will not fail thee, dear friend, even though it's almost as if one more thing will be the last straw. Where we often are, in our low estate. Is that like that for you in any of these ways? These are not strange things, not things that are outside of the Bible, outside of the experience of saints. These are typical things. These are real things. These are things compatible with the grace of God and part of the Lord's dealings with us in real life in this world as we pass through it to a better world. Be encouraged where we often are. Let's look secondly at what he always does, who remembered us in our low estate. You see, we are very conscious of where we often are in our low estate, but there is another who is more aware still, more conscious still, and who is said to remember us. This is God. Now, in the Bible, when it says that God remembers, we're not to think of that in the way that we remember. We recall something to our mind that we had previously forgotten, gone out of our mind. And so, oh yeah, I remember. And it's come back again. It's not like that with God. When it says that God remembers us, it's really referring to his intention to implement the next part of his plan and purpose. It's present to his mind what he's going to do next. And that's a great comfort. We're never out of his mind. He's always thinking about what the next thing is for us. David in Psalm 132 and verse 1 can say, Lord, remember David in all his affliction. In other words, Lord, what art thou going to do next? Do the next thing for me. Come in for me, for my help. So he remembered us in our low estate. In other words, you see, all that we've said so far are the Lord's dealings with us. He's remembered us in these things. All things, dear friends, are of God. And all things that happen to us are from his hand and from his heart. He knows the way that we take, because he is leading us. He knows our condition, because he is behind it. And he knows the grace that we need. He knows how we can spiritually profit from it and only be blessed. He knows how long it's going to last. He knows the goal and the end and the fruit of it. All this is God's remembering. Stage by stage, bit by bit, moment by moment even. The Lord is working. David could say in Psalm 31 verse 7, "Thou hast considered my trouble." You see, the consideration of God. God is considerate in all that he's doing with you. None of this ever passes from his mind in forgetfulness. God doesn't take his hand off the situation. He doesn't turn away from you ever for one instant. Who remembered us in our low estate. Now you've got some examples in the Bible which are always encouraging. You think of Noah in Genesis chapter 8 verse 1. "And the Lord remembered Noah and all that were with him in the ark." For almost a year, cooped up in that vessel and not knowing for sure the next thing that was going to happen. But the Lord had not forgotten him. Thinking of him, remembering him. And when the right time came and the earth was dry, he said, "Go forth of the ark." And they all came out, so thankful to be out again and on a cleansed and new world and this new beginning. It was nothing but a blessing for them and for the world. The Lord remembered Noah. He remembers you. And then there was Abraham in Genesis 19 verse 29. He was praying for Lot, wasn't he? Or praying for the city of Sodom, and with Lot in mind, that the city might be spared for Lot's sake, for the sake of 10 righteous persons. Well, there were not 10 righteous persons there. The city had to be destroyed, but we read this: "The Lord remembered Abraham and sent Lot and his daughters out and his wife out of the city before the overthrow." You see, he remembered Abraham's prayers, and he remembers our prayers too. Even in our lowest state, when from that position of being so down, we pray. Sometimes we forget that we've prayed. The Lord doesn't forget. He remembers us in our lower state. Even in our lowly, poor prayers, they avail more than we believe. The Lord remembers them. There was Rachel, Jacob's wife, who couldn't have children, desperately longed for children. And finally, Genesis 30 and verse 22, "The Lord remembered Rachel and opened her womb." Prayer was answered at last, perhaps when she came to a place of submission and patience rather than peevishness, and saying to Jacob, "Give me children or I die." Maybe when the Lord had subdued her and made her humble, then the Lord granted her prayer. But he knew what he was doing, you see, stage by stage. And so these and many other examples, and we ourselves are examples. He remembers us in our low estate, when we're down, when we're feeling so bad, so poor in spirit, and so empty and needy. We think that the Lord isn't looking at us, concerned for us, remembering us. He is, dear friends. And those times when you think that he's least there, he is closest of all. He remembers us in our low estate. It's comforting when nothing seems to happen. In spite of all our prayers and patience and waiting on the Lord. But you see, Psalm 116 and verse 6. That's a precious word where we read, and that's the testimony of the psalmist. He says, I was brought low and he helped me, remembered me in my low estate. Always keep the two together. I was brought low, yes, in God's dealings, and he helped me. You've got to go down low sometimes to know the help of God. It's only when we're lowest that we can appreciate most that God comes in for us. He remembered us in our low estate. And you say, but I'm so very low. I'm in the very pits. I don't think I can get any lower than I feel. My dear friend, you cannot get lower than the Lord. Underneath you are the everlasting arms. He is down there with you. And he remembers you and knows what he's doing. In some senses, it's a blessed thing to be as low as we can get, as low as we can be brought, because in those times we know the Lord most. We're kept from pride. We're kept from self-sufficiency, kept from carelessness. You remember Bunyan's shepherd boy in the Pilgrim's Progress? He that is down needs fear no fall. He that is low, no pride. He that is humble ever shall have God to be his guide. And it was said that that boy had more of the herb of heart's ease in his bosom than anyone they knew. God is with us when we are down low. And it means, you see, that he thinks of us all the time. It's a matter of great wonder, this is, in Psalm 40 and verse 5. The psalmist there, David, he is wondering and marvelling at this great fact that the Lord thinks about him, and he puts it like this. He says in verse 5, Psalm 40, many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. Wonderful works, but the thoughts that are behind them. God in thoughtfulness. He is the living, the loving God who is doing all this. He knows us as his people. And you can say in the words of Psalm 106 verse 4, remember me, O Lord, with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people. God is known for it, as thoughtful, as the God who is remembering what he's doing and doing it so perfectly and so well. You have a part and a portion in it, dear friends. Remember me with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people. Let me share in this as well. And you most certainly shall. And let us not think that this is merely the mind. It includes his affections. This is warm. This is fatherly. Who remembered us in our low estate? It's called in Psalm 33 verse 11, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. And his mercy endureth forever. It's a fond, loving remembering of us. When a husband is going to buy a special present for his wife to show how much he loves her, he gives thought to it, and he remembers to do it. It doesn't pass from his mind, it's his intention. He's devoted to her, he's going to do this for her, give it to her as an expression of what she means to him. And God remembers us with the thoughts of his heart in our low estate. coming back to Hezekiah and his fatal illness, in Isaiah 38 verse 17, the rest of that verse, "Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it." Literally in the margin, "Thou hast loved my soul from the pit." Loved my soul out of the pit. Loved me and lifted me up. Love lifted me when no one but Christ could help. Love lifted me. He remembers us in our low estate. And perhaps the greatest marvel of all, dear friends, is he does this even when we are not remembering him. How many thoughts do we give to the Lord throughout any given day? The thoughts of our hearts, how much does he have from us? How much attention do we give to being careful to be a doer of the word and honour him and please him in our lives as much as we can by grace? We would long for it to be more as we're given more grace. But when we think of our poor returns to him, and then when we think of all that he is to us, who always unchangeably, infallibly remembers us in our low estate. Wonder of wonders. It cannot be the same from our side all the time. We have other things to think about, other things to give our attention to. We are preoccupied necessarily and rightly. We're creatures. We have to multitask sometimes. We always try to return to the Lord like the compass needle returns to magnetic north, but we're deflected for so much of it. Only in heaven will we be holy as we wish to be. But God has no problem like that. We know that he orders the whole universe he made. He is active in providence throughout all creation. He gives himself 100% to each one of his children, as well as the general dealings in his governmental purposes for the nations. And yet, he can be so remembering you in your low estate as if there were no other to remember or think about. You are that special to him. 100%. He has remembered us. He does remember us. He will remember us. He remembered the dying thief and took him to glory. He'll remember all of us and take us to glory one day at the appointed time. And then that glorious place, it will not be said of us anymore, low estate. Oh, we shall be in the highest estate. And if you think about it like this, we shall inherit the estate of our dying testator, even the Lord Jesus Christ, who has left us the legacy of all the blessings of the everlasting covenant and eternal life and our estates in glory, which we are yet to inherit. How we often are is so true, but what he always does is true now and forever. May God bless it to us for the glory of his name. Amen. Let bring home to us, we pray, how very blessed we are in Christ Jesus and as the children of God and heirs, joint heirs with Christ of all things. Bless us now, we pray. Do us good. Be with us the coming night. Grant us peace and safety in our sleep and rest, and be with us in the morning and the new day and the new working week. the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.